This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn, alongside Glenn West. It's Thanksgiving week. Hope if you're traveling, if you're watching or listening, maybe on the road to some family, you're enjoying good family time. And Glenn and I are going to be doing the same this week as well. And Glenn, it's a fun time of the year when it talks. I mean, look, college football season's fun no matter what, but it's a fun time of the year when you talk about potential bowl games, potential, you know, it's going to be a fun matchup this weekend, even though it's 11 a.m. kickoff. But big reason that LSU fans should be excited, you got three premier awards that the Tigers are kind of up for. Let's start with the most notable one. If you clicked on the thumbnail, you know what we're talking about. Jaden Daniels to New York. Glenn, we'll start off with this. How confident are you that you can book a ticket, book a flight up to New York City for the second week of December?
Well, I would absolutely love to do that. I haven't run it by the big bosses yet to see if we'll get to go, but I would imagine that Jaden has a seat in New York at the very, very least. I think that he's proven throughout the entire regular season that he's deserving of at least being in that ceremony and being highlighted and recognized for all that he's accomplished this year. He's been the most dynamic player in college football. I don't think it's particularly close. I think that there's bias that you can have certainly as a local guy watching him for 13, 14 weeks in a row, but just the numbers that he's putting up, the way that he looks when he's putting up these numbers. I mean, Brian Kelly might've said it best. There's literally nothing that they haven't seen this year with Jaden behind center that he hasn't been able to master and overcome. From an offensive perspective. And so I do think that he's going to be right there, you know, with Bo Nix, with, with Michael Penix Jr. We'll see who else could maybe kind of crop, you know, kind of show up here in their final, you know, week, 2 weeks here with a lot of these championship games being played. But there's no doubt that Jaden deserves to be there. I think that he and LSU have both really leaned into the idea of him potentially trying to win this award. I mean, they made no mistakes by throwing him out there for eight drives to score eight touchdowns against Georgia State. They went out and executed at a very high level. They set some more records in terms of tying what Joe Burrow did back in 2019 in the college football playoff against Oklahoma with the eight touchdowns. He's over 1,000 yards rushing. He's well over 3,000 yards passing now. He has a outside shot with a really, really good day through the air to potentially get to 4,000 yards passing to go along with his 1,000 yards rushing. So he's just been super, super dynamic. He's been incredibly fun to watch. And, you know, there's an entertainment factor that comes with watching him. And I think, Brian Kelly, one of his main things this year, he said a lot is, you know, if this is a popularity contest, then, in terms of the Heisman winner, then go ahead and pick whoever you want. But I actually think that, you know, Jaden's probably the most entertaining to watch out of all the Heisman candidates right now, too. I mean, he's just been so dynamic with his legs and so, you know, just weaving in and out of traffic the last several weeks. He's done a really, really fantastic job, obviously, of getting a lot of his receivers involved. I mean, Kyron Lacy's really had a nice second half resurgence to the season to go along with what Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers are already doing. So I would expect Jaden to be in New York. You know, we've kind of been updating you guys on just the odds and what it looks like kind of heading into this week. It really looks like it's going to be a neck and neck kind of thing here over the next week or two. Really looks like that it's Daniels and Bo Nix that have kind of maybe separated from the pack in terms of the biggest odds guys, you know, and just the lines and where they're going. So be interesting. I mean, I think Jaden has to have another really remarkable game here. And then I think you have to see if Bo Nix doesn't slip up somewhere over the next 2 weeks, see if Michael Penix doesn't slip up. But I do think that Jaden's going to be right there in New York with a spot in the ceremony at the very least.
Yeah, and you mentioned too, I mean, look, the Michael Penix, Bo Nix conversation, I mean, those are the three front runners, it feels like. The fourth spot, and this is not a shot at anybody, but the fourth spot's kind of just there, I feel like, as a pat on the back for someone who's had a really, really good season, you know, but I don't think they're a serious contender to win the award. My kind of thoughts on the, you know, the Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Penix didn't have a great game this past weekend, which would have been another kind of feather in the cap on his resume against Oregon State. And you've mentioned this, the odds on favorites, the Vegas favorites. For me, it's, you kind of have to watch what Bo Nix does. Like, Jaden Daniels is going to have another crazy performance. And like you mentioned, does Bo Nix slip up this week against Oregon State? Does Bo Nix lose to Washington? And does Michael Penix still not look, you know, is he not the main reason that Washington wins the Pac-12 title game? I think when you just look across the board, and this is, I'm with you. I mean, Jaden Daniels, if it's not a popularity contest, you know, they've really ramped up the marketing post-Florida, all these things. To me, it's him and Bo Nix. If Bo Nix, and I want to get your thoughts before we kind of move on to the next award here, Glenn. If Bo Nix has a good game this weekend against Oregon State and they win the Pac-12 title over Washington and clinch a playoff spot, that for me, it's an extra game on the resume before the final vote. I'm taking it from a national standpoint here. Yeah. I think that Bo Nix would kind of hold the edge over Jaden in that sense.
I do too. I think, you know, if Nix has a good next couple of weeks, I mean, he's got 35 touchdowns, 2 interceptions this year. I mean, he's had a really, really nice season. And it's kind of bizarre thinking about how a couple of years ago he was running all over LSU in the Auburn game. And we were talking about him being just like this really dynamic mobile quarterback who couldn't really, you know, do much in terms of his passing game and kind of was a little bit up and down when he was in the SEC while at Auburn. Mm-hmm. And now he's turned into a really dynamic thrower of the ball in the Pac-12. And, you know, some LSU fans are going to take the little jab there saying he couldn't cut it in the SEC, which is why he went to go throw it all over the field in the Pac-12. But you got to have a lot of respect for what he's done this year. He's been fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, he's obviously set Oregon up to be in a college football playoff kind of mindset, kind of that's what they're thinking here over the next 2 weeks if they get 2 big wins. So, yeah, I think that in that case, then I do believe that it would probably be Bo Nix that would be the overwhelming favorite. But, yeah, I mean, look, Jaden's going to do everything he can this weekend to kind of make that last dish effort. I mean, look, he's number one in the country in just about every statistical category. I mean, I think he has the highest passer efficiency rating there's ever been for a quarterback heading into this final week of the season. That's just incredible, you know, improvement from him and from a passing perspective. And then you take into account that he also is number one in total yards and 4,591 yards that he has. He's number one in passing touchdowns. He's number one in total touchdowns with 46. He's number one in yards per play. You know, he's done everything that he can to, I think, from a stats perspective, eliminate the 3 losses that LSU has on their resume this year. And look, you know, it could be a situation here where he very well could go and Nick's has a really nice couple of weeks here and wins the award, but it wouldn't take away, I don't think, from the remarkable season that Jaden's had here and the progress that, you know, this offense has shown this season is something that I think a lot of future prospects are going to want to be about, are going to want to be a part of. And I just think that there's a lot of momentum riding into the offseason with this offense, the way that it was clicking. Now you've got to get the defense up to speed and the defense caught up to where the offense is. But I think even a seat at the table for Jaden would show a lot of these recruits, a lot of these offensive recruits that LSU's going after and that they're trying to bring into their program, that we're trending in the right direction offensively. Mm-hmm. And then you come here, you can have similar success if you put in the work and you show the development that we're looking for. So I do think that there's something to be said here for Jaden, not only just getting there for himself, but getting there for the program as well and showing that, you know, it's going to be one of the premier spots to come play and load up on offense in the SEC. I think that they're going to really lean into that this offseason and really make that pitch to a lot of these recruits.
Yeah, and one more thing on the Daniels case. Look, we've talked about this. National media has talked about it. And RG3 is one of the biggest proponents of it, and probably because it benefited them. The three losses or the multiple losses, that precedent's been set. So it's not something where I think that is a mute argument when you kind of look at what he's been able to do. And look, you know, you did mention it. I mean, some people might stumble across this video that aren't our subscribers. They aren't, you know, LSU fans. So, well, you guys are biased. I mean, I just encourage you to kind of watch what this guy has done. And I think, too, it also matters with how much the performance of your team can hinge on a single player. And, Glenn, we've watched Jaden Daniels. I mean, even the Florida State game where they didn't play well, Jaden Daniels was one of the big reasons that game was really even close in the first half second half. So his importance to this team and what he means, it's huge. And wanted to round it out here with this conversation. We talked about maybe the lack of a true Heisman moment. I do sit in the camp. I was telling some people the day where if LSU beats Ole Miss on that last drive, that's probably the Heisman moment. He didn't get the chance to have that, you know, moment at the end of the game or the fourth quarter against Alabama. But is it the Florida? Is it the 85-yard run? I mean, that might be one where you're just like, holy cow. What was one moment where it clicked for you, said, oh, my, holy cow, this guy's going to have a serious chance to be in New York?
Yeah, there were a couple for sure. I would say, you know, the Ole Miss back and forth. I mean, you lose the game, and it's, you know, it's entirely on the defense that you didn't pull that one out. 49 points should be enough to win an SEC game in this day and age. But I just thought the way that he kept responding and punching back with answer after answer for what Ole Miss was doing was really, really impressive. I would – you know, you can't really have a Heisman moment in a loss, but I do feel like that's where it started to click for me that maybe he could be in this conversation. And then, you know, I would probably put the Florida game up there as, you know, whether it's the 85-yard run. I actually thought his 51-yard touchdown run in the second half was a little bit more impressive with the way that he wove in and out of the defense there. I mean, it looked like there were about three or four different times where there were a collection of players that could have grabbed him and brought him down. And he just ran right past him. I mean, they could not keep up with him. So I would certainly put the Florida game up there when you have 600 yards of offense and set, you know, an SEC record for total yards. That's that's certainly one that's a feather in the cap that you can kind of point to as a big moment. But I also am with you. I think, look, if he had had the opportunity in the fourth quarter against Alabama, I think LSU would have scored one, maybe even two more times and made it a little bit more of an interesting fourth quarter, even with the interception that started kind of the down spiral of that game. You know, I think that, you know, the resilience of the offense, if Jaden hadn't been knocked out, I think they probably would have gone on to score and put up a little bit more of a, you know, a little bit more of a, you know, some pressure on Bama towards the end of that game. So, I think that, you know, he hasn't had a true Heisman moment, maybe in the sense that, you know, Brad Nessler making the call for Burrow in 19 against Bama, but, you know, there's certainly some stuff out there that he's done that not many others are capable of doing in this day and age in college football. And I think just looking at the film, watching him play, you really get a good sense of just how dynamic and how unique he's been this season. And I think that's probably what stands out more than anything.
Yeah, Jayden Daniels was actually 24/7 Sports just released this article as we're recording. Clint Brewster of 24/7 Sports, he actually had Bo Nix dethroning LSU's Jayden Daniels as the top quarterback in his ranking. So I think that, look, end of the day, you're going to look at both of these guys and say they both had really special seasons. And you mentioned Bo Nix, his evolution as a quarterback. I mean, hats off to the guy for growing up, maturing, and becoming a better football player. That's what you're supposed to do at the college level. Jayden Daniels has done the same. And I think that there's a serious argument for him to win that award. We move on, though,
yeah,
Glenn.
I think it's important to know that the voters here, you know, they're spread out all across the country. So, like, it's not going to be like one region here where, yeah, I would imagine a lot of the people that follow the SEC closely and follow – you know, some of the quarterbacks in this conference closely will certainly have a lean towards Jayden, much like I think a lot of the writers on the West Coast that are covering the Pac-12 and, you know, a lot of these, you know, other programs out West will have an eye towards Bo Nix or Michael Penix in their votes. And I'm going to be curious to see if maybe if Nix and Penix maybe cancel each other out to some degree.
Split with the vote a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe. Like if that happens, then I think Jayden's chances might, you know, they might increase a little bit. You know, does somebody have a preference to Michael Penix over what Bo Nix did? Like if, you know, for example, if Bo Nix has a really good game this weekend, but Michael Penix has a really good Pac-12 championship and they win that game, does somebody say, well, you know, Penix went head-to-head with Nix and beat him
twice.
Twice, yeah. You know, put him up there. And does that take away from maybe what some of Bo Nix has done here at the very end of the season? So just another thought there, another food for thought of just what, you know, voters might be thinking about. And I think the fact that you have two quarterbacks in the Pac-12 that are competing for the top of the Heisman, you know, it might cancel out in some respect.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. I didn't think about that. I mean, you look, it's we don't get political here, Glenn, but we will talk about canceling each other out in the vote. We will talk about that when it comes to the Heisman Trophy. We move on to another award that really, Glenn, we didn't plan it like this, but as we're recording this podcast, we're recording it just before 10 a.m. Central. They're going to announce the semifinalists for the Biletnikoff here at 10. We're going to get it during the middle of the podcast, so I'll be able to relay that. We all expect Glenn, Malik Nabers to be, if not in, at least in the conversation, at the top of the conversation. I will start it off with this, and I've gotten on a soapbox about this multiple times with some people. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to do special things in the NFL. He is a special, special type of player. I know that he has missed some games, Glenn. His numbers probably would be better if he didn't miss those games. This is just for me, and you can back me off the ledge here. If Marvin Harrison Jr. wins this award, to me, it's based off the last 3 years of the body of work he's had, not specifically off this season. Great football player, not taking anything away from his career at Ohio State. But when you look at the numbers, you look at, once again, the impact on the team. Malik Nabers, for me, once again, Glenn, I just think it's a hard conversation to have when you talk about within the scope of the 2023 season. Nabers, it's got to be up there when it really matters.
Yeah, I think he will. You know, he'll be a finalist. Like, and let's just get that.
Oh yeah,
right, he's going to be a finalist. He's going to be, I think, in that conversation. And you know, I don't know exactly what the Biletnikoff, you know, what their kind of tools for voting are, who gets votes and whatnot. It's not as clear cut, I think, as probably the Heisman is, where it's, you know, they want to try to be as unbiased as possible. I'm not sure what the Biletnikoff's you know, goals are in that, but you know, I do think that, you know, look, Harrison's been really, really good this year for a very, very good Ohio State team. You know, he's been, you know, at one point, even a week or two ago, he was still getting some buzz as a Heisman candidate. I don't know that that's really going to take off anymore. I just don't think so after this last game. But I do think he's probably going to be the favorite to win this award. I think that there's, you know, I don't know that there's a whole lot that Malik can do outside of, you know,
what he's doing.
Just going berserk, you know, going absolutely berserk, just because I do think that there is some of that okay, man, like Marvin Harrison Jr. has been one of the best receivers in the country for 3 years now. He's been doing it very, very consistently. And unless you have a season like a, you know, like a Jamar Chase, where he has 20 touchdowns and 1,700 yards, and Jamar in that season was just unquestionably the one of the best receivers in the country, and arguably the second best was his teammate Justin Jefferson, who also put up crazy numbers. So, I think that Malik's going to have a shot here, especially if he goes out and, you know, I know that I've said this a bunch here over the last couple of weeks on our board, but he's within spitting distance of setting the all-time LSU record for receiving yards in his career. And I think, you know, if that, even if he doesn't end up winning this Biletnikoff Award, that would be a pretty good consolation prize if he's able to get. I think he's 144 off the mark right now for what Reed did. So if he puts up 144 yards against A&M, which I think is very, very possible, then he'll have that record, and he'll be at the top there for, and he'll always be considered, I think, one of the elite receivers LSU's had. I think he's grown leaps and bounds this year with his game. He has 1,424 yards this year, 12 touchdowns, 80 receptions. I mean, he's averaging, you know, 17, 18 yards a catch. I mean, he's just been completely dynamic. But I do think that there are going to be a lot of votes for Marvin Harrison out there, regardless of what happens this weekend for Malik. And so I think it's going to be an uphill battle for him. I think you'd have to think that Malik has to have a really, really good last game here. Harrison maybe has to put up another stinker in his season, regular season finale. Maybe he doesn't perform as well in their, you know, Big Ten championship, if that's the game that they're going to be playing in. So, I think there's still some hope out here for Malik, but I don't feel as confident in Malik winning the Biletnikoff as I do in Jaden's chances of being at the top in the Heisman candidacy right now. I think that there's a little bit more of a separation just because whether it's name, whether it's the fact that Harrison's been around for several years now and kind of has that cachet with a lot of these reporters and journalists, I think are going to be making this decision. I think that'll play into it a little bit too. One other guy though, that I think is, you know, can't be lost in all this is Troy Franklin from Oregon. He's had a really, really nice season.
Very 12 nice year.
Yards, 13 touchdowns. You know, he's tied with Brian Thomas right now for touchdowns in the country, I believe. So, and he's been a part of one of the biggest, you know, the most dynamic offenses in the country, as well as Roma Dunsey from is that how you say it? Roma Dunsey.
Roma Dunsey, very nice, Dunsey. Very nice.
All right, from Washington, he's been really, really consistent for Washington as well, and obviously the explosive offense that they have. So. I think that's kind of the collection, the four guys that I see having a chance at winning this thing. And, you know, I think it's just going to take a lot for one of those guys to really knock off Marvin Harrison. I think he's going to end up getting this thing, but you know, you never know. I do think that Malik has done everything that he can to say that he deserves the award. But I do think that this one's probably going to be more of a popularity kind of contest thing with the way that this at least just that's just my own view of how this looks right now. I mean,
yeah,
you have a different one.
No, look, I mean,
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're not taking anything away from what Marvin Harrison Jr. has done. I mean, the guy has caught 18 less passes. He's got 1,093 yards. He's got one more touchdown than Malik Nabers does. You know, I've heard the conversation with this and some pushback and seen this on social media. Well, Marvin Harrison Jr. is doing it with a less elite quarterback or not as good of a quarterback, which, look, I mean, that profiles into it. I just still stand kind of by what I said, Glenn, in the beginning. I think that if Harrison wins this and – I'm interested to see, and like I said, I don't know kind of the you mentioned it, but the bullet points. Like, okay, check here. What does this guy have to hit for us to put him number one? You know, I don't know kind of what the grading scale, I guess we could use in that terminology. If Harrison wins it kind of going away, to me, that's going to tell me it's a popularity contest. You know, but if it's a close one, then I will be pleased even if Malik Nabers doesn't win it. I mean, I think Nabers is one of the top five receivers in the country, top three. I mean, you could argue that point all day. But I do agree with you. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. wins this one. And I'm interested to see what kind of the gap of the vote is. If it is Marvin Harrison Jr. going away from not only Nabers, but a couple of the guys that you mentioned, then you've really kind of got to ask yourself, you know, how much football were these people really watching, you know, outside of what, you know, just looking at the box scores and the stats. That'll be something very interesting for me. But look, Malik Nabers had a great season. Brian Thomas Jr., you know, you and I are going to talk about this once the regular season ends. I think we could do a whole episode on, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. What's the draft stock? You know, that both of these guys, Nabers and Thomas, have elevated their draft stock through the roof with the season they had. And once again, man, you got one more home game. I don't foresee these guys playing in a bowl game, but we'll see, you know, in the modern day age of college football. Fans should show out on Saturday because it's going to be one last chance to watch these guys play in Tiger Stadium. And, any final thoughts on the wide receiver before we move on to the final one?
No, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Brian Thomas because he's been, you know, I wouldn't say just as electric as Malik. He hadn't been as consistent as Malik, but he's had the breakout season that LSU was dying for this year. I mean, what they've done as a duo this year, they put up the graphic on the broadcast of what Nabers and Thomas have done compared to what Chase and Jefferson did at this time a year ago or 4 years ago. And they're very similar in numbers. I mean, I know that 2019 offense certainly had a lot of mouths to feed with Terrace Marshall and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Thaddeus Moss still being there. But those top two guys in Jefferson and Chase, you're seeing that kind of consistency in production in Nabers and Thomas this year. Yeah. And that's just been super impressive because you know that, you know, defenses are going to be scheming around those two. I mean, when Jaden's back there throwing, you know, they're not only trying to keep an eye on what he's doing in the pocket, but they're also trying to take Malik out of games, which opens up the field for Thomas. And credit to Thomas, man. He's been really, really good this year when defenses have keyed in on Malik. He's made teams pay for that. And you know, he's done a really nice job, I think, you know, just not only from a pass catching perspective, but also blocking down the field too. I think he's really helped himself in the way that he's, you know, been open and willing to block for what Jaden's doing in the ground game, because that's the one part of the when Jaden escapes, thing, and when he's doing his weaving and in and out of traffic and, you know, just electric stuff. A lot of the times he's picking up some big time blocks down the field from Josh Williams, from Brian Thomas, from Malik Nabers, from some of these tight ends like Mason Taylor. So like there's a big team effort that goes into winning a Heisman or being in the conversation for Heismans and Biletnikoffs and what we'll get into here in a minute with the Joe Moore Award. But just a credit to LSU and credit to the development of these guys. I think if there's a player out there in the country, whether it's in the transfer portal or a high school recruit, it's hard not to look at LSU's offense and think, man, this could be something special if we come here and try to keep up with what's been going on.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, man. And look, the award we're about to get to next just shows you how truly special this offense is. And look, you can be frustrated, but for today, we're going to enjoy how great this season has been offensively. LSU's offensive line up for the Joe Moore Award, named a semifinalist. I got a quote here from the Joe Moore Award Committee. Glenn, I'll read it and then hand it off to you. The committee says, it's an interesting unit that plays with physicality and looks to finish wherever, whenever it gets the chance. They all seem to anchor well in pass pro, and they're expected to win one-on-ones, which they usually do. It ain't always pretty, but it's constantly effective. Wanted to get your thoughts on what the committee said when they named them a semifinalist. I'll also add the fact that Washington's offensive line by the committee was actually compared to the 2019 LSU offensive line. So there's a little parallel, interesting conversation there. But your thought on this group where, look, you have the two tackles that we mentioned. I was interested to see if they took the next step. You know, Will Campbell is a first rounder, I think, when his career at LSU is done. Emory Jones has been a really, really nice piece. And even with some of the issues, Charles Turner in the middle, I mean, we've seen the snap infractions, all those type of things. At times, man, he's just been a mauler in the middle of this group. So your thoughts on LSU's offensive line and their chance to potentially win the Joe Moore Award?
Yeah, I mean, I like their, you know, it's going to be hard. I mean, I do think that the fact that, you know, LSU's had the most dynamic offense in the country this year, from a stats perspective, I think that's going to help their chances a lot. I think that you've seen some real growth out of guys like Emory Jones and Will Campbell, and Garrett Dellinger has been a guy that hasn't really been talked about a ton this year. And I think that's just a credit to him just because of how steady he's been at one of those guard spots. And so, yeah, I do think that this group's going to have an opportunity to compete for that award. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the Biletnikoff finalists here. Malik did come through. He's a finalist for the Biletnikoff. So
yeah, just named like as we just yeah
as we're looking here, he's a semifinalist, not a finalist, semifinalist. But yeah, there's a bunch of really good players that are going to be whittled down, I'm sure, even more here over the next week or two. But yeah, for LSU and for its offensive line, I do think that there's been some real progress there, and Jaden has not been shy about saying how much he has appreciated the work that they've done up front in terms of keeping him healthy. Yes, he scrambles a lot. Yes, he moves in the pocket, I think, as well as as any quarterback in the country, which really keeps defenses on their toes. But even on the quarterback design runs, I think you've seen some real holes there for him. You've seen some real consistency, I think, in the run game at times as well. I think probably in some of the losses, that might be where it hurts this offensive line, just because in some of the, you know, the Florida State loss, the Alabama loss, LSU was not able to get the run game going in either of those games. From a true running back perspective, I mean, Jaden had some nice moments as a running quarterback, but they were held up pretty well, I think, in those two losses in terms of their run game. So maybe that hurts them, maybe it doesn't. But I do think that the stats that you're putting up as an offense and the fact that this group has stayed healthy all season long, they've stayed together, they've pretty much had the same nucleus of starting five, that'll really help them in terms of what that award's looking for. And I do think that they'll have a real shot to win it.
Yeah, I think, for me, when you look at kind of the big time games, I mean, the Alabama game didn't get a lot of necessarily great push. It's a great opponent. I think those are the games that if you play really well and you dominate, it kind of makes you a surefire, winner for this type of award. You know, but I want to give a lot of credit to Brad Davis. I think that we're seeing his recruiting acumen, his development of some of the veterans, and even some like the young guys taking the next step. I think it really speaks to LSU kind of has a gem at the offensive line coach. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that we're going to get to in the offseason when we talk about coaching potential changes and stuff like that. But I think that you can realistically say that Brad Davis, I don't know, Glenn, I don't know if there's 10 better offensive line coaches in the country and what he's been able to do. And so I think a testament to a lot of this is the coaching and the development.
He's done a great job of recruiting here, but the development piece, I think, is really what sets him apart. We've talked with pretty much every offensive lineman this season, and each one of them has told us just how incredible that Davis is at knowing what to say to each individual player and how mm-hmm. to get the best out of them. That has been something that has been a pretty consistent theme, whether we're talking with Emory Jones or Charles Turner. You know, he can talk to Charles Turner one way, but knows he can't get the same message across to a guy like Will Campbell in another way. So like he's mm-hmm. able to kind of wire that in his brain to where he can have those thoughts and have those conversations to get the best out of each individual player. And I think that's kind of what sets him apart from the developmental side of helping all these guys out. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think that he's been a huge, huge part of this. I think he's going to have to continue to be, if we're ranking in terms of offensive coaches, I mean, there's going to be a lot of interest, I think, in LSU's offensive coaches this year for promotions yeah. or from other programs. I'm doing everything I can to hold on to Joe Sloan. I'm doing everything I can to hold on to Brad Davis, to Cortez Hankton. I don't think that Frank Wilson's a guy that would just uproot for another job yeah. somewhere. I think he really loves, obviously, being in Louisiana. This is his home. So, and then obviously with what Denbrock's doing with the offense, but as the coordinator, but those guys are all going to get looks, I think, and serious interest from other programs in terms of promotion. And I think LSU's going to have to certainly offer up some raises this offseason for the way that those guys have done. It's been a very job, you know, it's been a job very well done from the offense for really most of the year. And obviously Davis is going to be a huge part of that going forward, because you've got a really strong nucleus, I think, of young guys. You're bringing in a really stout class of I think five offensive linemen right now in this next 2024 cycle. You've got some really talented in-state guys coming up the pike. So, he's going to be as important, I think, as anybody else in this. If LSU's offense hopes to stay where it is or stay around where it's been, I mean, it's kind of hard to think that you could get better than what LSU's offense has been this year. But, I think Davis is going to have to play a huge part of that.
Yeah, I know this is looking a little too far ahead, and we're going to, you know, maybe do some grades and report cards in different position groups after this regular season ends. But I think that the continued development and keeping and retaining, you know, that retention aspect is also in coaches that you mentioned in your article on Saturday. Keeping Brad Davis for a Garrett Nussmeier, for a quarterback that might come after him, that is going to be massive if LSU wants to have the same type of success. It's going to be hard. Like, that's a hard benchmark to continue to hit of what Daniels and Burrow have over the past five seasons. But as those guys ease in and take over the reins, look, having an elite offensive line coach and a really solid crop of offensive linemen is going to help. So I'll end it with this, and Glenn, we can get to your thoughts, and then we end the show. I don't know that LSU wins this award, but I think it's a testament to Brad Davis and having them in the conversation each and every single year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that they'll be in it next year too, when you think about year three of Will Campbell and Emory Jones, and year two is Lance Hurd. DJ Chester, I think, is a young guy yeah. to really keep an eye on. Maybe you get Dellinger back. I think, you know, a big part of this offseason is not going to be about acquisition, as Kelly has mentioned. It's going to be about retention and trying to keep a lot of this core together as much as they can. And I think especially on the offensive side of the ball, you'd like to see a lot of these offensive linemen return that have been starters for you. You'd like to see a lot of these running backs, you know, whether it's Caleb Jackson, Trey Holly, Logan Diggs, you'd like to see that kind of core group return as well. Receivers, you'd like to see some great development out of the young talent you have at receiver, and maybe add one from the portal. And then quarterback, obviously, with Nussmeier and Collins and Colin Hurley coming in. I think that's a good starting point for your offense next year if you're able to retain a lot of those guys, and certainly look into next year as being a contender for lots of awards, and including the Joe Moore Award next year. So, I do think that LSU's going to be in it. I think they'll be in the conversation for a finalist. I believe they've only done semifinalists right now for the Jim Moore Award. Yeah. Is that correct? Yeah. So
that's correct. Yeah.
I think you can see them as finalists. I don't know that they win it. I think certainly you'll look probably at Washington's offensive line. You look at Oregon's, you'll look at, a couple others, but LSU, I think, should be in that mix.
I agree with you, man. And it just is a testament to, I think, to this group continuing to build that foundation that Brian Kelly wanted. It's a positive spin, sure. I don't think it's pumping sunshine, though, and I think it's really excited to see what this group can do. But, hey, LSU still has one more game to play. We're going to take a look. Glenn, I think before you and I both hit the road to get all full on some Thanksgiving food, we're going to try to preview this Texas A&M game. That's going to be a fun one. And look, I encourage folks, be at the game. And this is I just have this feeling, and I'll tease it here. It's going to be an inspired Aggie team that wants to play a little bit of spoiler for that 10-win benchmark LSU. And I think it's going to be a fun football game to take in Tiger Stadium for the final time here in 2023. But, hey, thanks so much for watching. If you don't get a chance to be a part of that, we appreciate you for listening all season long. We're going to be rolling out maybe a new podcast schedule in the offseason, lots of recruiting, transfer portal, tons of stuff to talk about. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Glenn's heading back down to NOLA, and got the wife's parents meeting us about halfway in Mississippi somewhere. So we're going to be enjoying and get back for the game on early Saturday morning. Glenn, you're just going to camp out at the stadium? Like, what's the plan?
No.
Grab breakfast, 8:30 clock in time?
Yeah. Get a Irish coffee, a couple Irish coffees in us. Yeah. That'll be the – first 11 a.m. game of the year for the final regular season game is kind of a punch in the mouth, a punch in the face for fans, but for media, we'll have all of our stories done by 3:30, 4 o'clock, and just be able to enjoy the rest of the day. So it's good for us.
Watch
so good.
Yeah,
probably not so good for LSU fans, but it'll be a good environment and a fun last final game to kind of see this offense in particular. Have one last chance to kind of show out for all the fans.
Of course. Glenn West, my name is Bryce Coon. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will catch you next time here on the Go 24/7.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.